right, good. Janet, did you get that Marie and Jan are on the call?
I got which Jan?
Jan Lamert.
Okay, yep.
And Marie?
Okay. Yeah, I got Marie, yep.
Okay, so I actually have not seen the agenda for the call. Maybe you could just kind of say what it is and we'll go from there.
Okay. I had that Anne had said that she has not received any of the key readings as a Sangha member.
Okay.
And she,
with that too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she wondered if anyone was assigned to that task.
Okay.
Then I had to look at the orientation letter and the contact list for the web and to see if anything's needed on these.
Okay.
And there's one more. Anne wrote a while back on a possibility of an online manual on facilitation tips.
Okay.
So those were the things on the agenda.
Okay, good. I had a couple ideas, too. I thought it might be fun to start off with a check-in about the blog. I've got it set up in my email now that I get an email with the blog whenever somebody makes an entry. I'm finding really, really helpful because it kind of keeps me dialed in to what's going on without it being like a huge job. Go there and see a whole bunch of things all at once. So I wanted to offer that from my experience, that I encourage people to do that. It's real easy to do. There's still on the front page of the blog and put your email address and you're in. Pretty much. And I wanted to express, too, that I'm finding the blog to be really inspiring. Going through there, and just I think the things people putting in there are super and really, really helpful. And I just watch myself, when I go and look at it, just getting jazzed and excited about the program, happy we're doing this thing together. And it just feels really kind of helpful and supportive. So I wanted to offer that from my point of view and to see, what are other people's experiences of the blog and, are people being successful? Are people running into anything? Because I think it's going to be a really important tool for us. So anyone want to?
Yes, Dave, this is Cameron.
Cameron. Go ahead, Cameron.
Yes, I want to say I set mine up so that it comes into my email, too, and it's really fabulous. I have a little mailbox. And so whenever a new one is posted, it comes right in there, and I don't have to go on the website. I just read it, and I too am finding it very inspirational. I did try to write my very first blog the other day after I facilitated, and I had a little bit of a challenge. It got erased somehow or another. Only the title got put in somewhere. So I think it was just that I had never done it before. I don't think it's that hard, but I just wanted to report that I wasn't successful yet, but I'm working on it.
You're working on that. That's great.
Yeah.
I have the same experience. I think you don't have to remember to go look. No. Well, but if it shows up automatically, and then it's short, too, and it's fine because it's in the middle of all these other emails, which typically tend to be, they're all practice-related for me, and so tend to be inspirational and helpful. But to have that little thing where I don't have to do anything except appreciate what somebody wrote in, it's kind of a nice little to have those peppered through my emails, really a nice experience.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Cameron.
Mm-hmm. Dave, it's Ramita.
Ramita.
I echo that. I love it. It's very easy with my popping up in my email. And one of the things that I've noticed as a result of reading the blog regularly is it's really expanded my idea of what facilitation is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when people
too.
talk about spending time beforehand.
It seems so helpful to have, because lots of people are sharing all kinds of different experiences, and it helps get out of that little, this is the way I do it, or this is what facilitation is like for me, kind of attitude of mind, and just broaden it out some.
Yes, very much so. I also just wanted to let you know, Cameron's comments were very blurry, and yours are kind of blurry too. I don't know if that's everyone's experience, but the audio quality right now is not very good. It might be me.
Oh, is that right? Are other people having that experience? I have
yes.
that
yes.
camera.
Yes.
Yes.
That's my experience too, Dave. I'm having it's kind of garbly.
Is that any better?
So far it seems a little better, but maybe you'll need to talk a little bit and let's see.
It's a little less echoey at the moment. That's good.
Okay, well, we actually have a solution. Hang on a second while I work that out. Okay, well, it's going to take us just a minute. We're going to switch phones to get one on this work. Hey, other people about the blog.
This conversation, but I thought I'd put up. I'm wondering what the guidance is for monks with the blog. And who feel sort of relieved to not have to write a... there's part that isn't why I would want to be required. And I'm wondering.
Thanks for sharing that. I was acutely aware of that, Amy, this morning as I was getting ready for the call, that that's a hole in our thing. And I actually, I'm looking to Alex, but I think there's probably a way that we could make it happen. You think, Alex?
Might be a way. Well, to read it for sure and to actually post it would require being online. Now, it could. Yeah, we could work it out.
Yeah, we can work that out in some way. So I actually wrote that down this morning as a priority. So it may be after the retreat probably. But, yeah, let's make sure that happens.
Catherine has something.
And C.
I just noticed that I really appreciated there was one entry where someone wrote in. They were having resistance about writing in after they noticed they facilitated that, and I guess most groups, probably all the groups, are in the evening. So I could really see that, oh, God, I really don't want to go over to my computer and turn my computer. And I think this person was talking about how they had a commitment to being really kind to themselves in terms of making lots of they've not designated as work time, and that was going to kind of muddy. And then going ahead and doing it anyway, and it was such a great interview. I was really glad they had done it. I thought that was such a great testimonial for, yep, resistance is going to come up. But glad we've done it.
So true.
Dave, this is Jan. I'm having a really hard time hearing. I think it's background from someone. I'm in a car right now, and I'm going to mute myself again. But I'm having a really hard time understanding. Because it sounds like background noise.
Okay, well, we're working on a process, and hang tight. It's another couple minutes.
Thank you. All right,
thanks. Catherine has something.
Okay, Catherine.
If I could kind of expose some things here. I haven't been reading other people's postings. I've posted after my group. But I haven't been reading other people's postings because listening has me convinced that they're all better at this than I am, and I'm just going to feel, it's going to make me feel bad.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
I just want to get that out there because, to say it, I don't know, when you talked about how inspiring it is to read, I need that inspiration.
Yeah, I have a feeling. I appreciate a lot that you were willing to put that out like that, Stephen. Based on what I've seen in the blog, I have a feeling that you'll have the opposite experience from the one conditioning is telling you. So, like, you're having the same experience as everyone else. Especially, there's a lot of stuff in there about two-chair facilitation and, you know, facilitating small groups, stuff like that. And just so, I mean, what's inspiring to me about it is people running into conditioning and then getting past conditioning, not people being perfect facilitators.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet you that's the opposite experience.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Dave. This is Lori.
Oh, go ahead, Lori.
Okay, good, because I'm in the airport in Seattle. It's pretty noisy, so I only have a minute. But I just want to say I've only blogged once because I've only facilitated once, and I felt some of what Catherine was just talking about, just feeling like a little self-conscious and I'm not good enough. And it's also very, I'm very inspired, and And I'm still very supported by what's being posted. And I'm so grateful for it. So I just want to put that in there. Thank you.
This is Janet. Janet?
Go ahead, Janet.
Well, I feel really inspired, too. And I kind of have had the opposite experience where I have loved reading what everyone has written because it makes me feel like I'm just like everyone else. And I was actually quite surprised in the beginning with that. Because conditioning was telling me that, you know, I wasn't, you know, whatever I wasn't, but that I wasn't. And so then when I started reading the blog, it was like, oh, my gosh, so other people are really experiencing what I'm experiencing, and they're doing the same thing I'm doing. And I felt such a sense of community.
Yeah.
And it really buoyed me up big time.
That's kind of what I meant when I said that to Catherine. That seems like the prevailing is that we're all kind of in the same place doing the same work with this and having that be something that really supports practice.
Yeah, I found it really helpful. And I also, it comes to my email every morning, so it's great.
That's great. Okay, gang, I'm going to take a time out here. We're going to do a phone switch. We're going to have to cut ourselves off. We'll dial back ASAP. Okay. Be right back. Hey, gang, we're back. Can you hear us okay?
Great. Yep.
Sorry about the delay. We had some kind of intense technical problems there for a second. Okay, so we're finishing up with the blog. Anyone else about the blog before we move on? Melinda had something.
Yeah, I really appreciate hearing that, able to bring it in on your email, because somehow I missed that, and I went to it last night, and it was very booyah. It was overwhelming. There was so much, and it's so amazing that so many people are adding to it and working with it, and that's very exciting. And I don't know if anybody else has been running into something along the lines of Nora's Pottery Barn that is a follower of our blog, and maybe it's just the way I got on last night, but it was a little odd to see her in the middle of the facilitators.
I haven't run across that. So one thing, I noticed that not everyone is participating. And I know if for some people it's probably, because I know there's some folks who are not facilitating groups right now, and that's understandable, although you could participate anyway, but you don't have to facilitate a group in order to be able to participate in a blog. Like I noticed a couple people who are not participating right now, facilitators, are writing in about self-facilitation and other kinds of things like that. So a reminder there. And Janet, could we please make sure in the notes of this call that we have a reminder that strong encouragement is the gentlest way to say it. We have strong encouragement for anyone after they have facilitation experience, a formal facilitation experience, to write into the blog just to be able to kind of share what's going on. So if that could be in the notes, that would be great.
Okay.
Catherine has a question.
Catherine?
Hi. I'm having my group of one at the regular time that I set the group. You know, I'm trying to set it up like a group, but I'm the only one there. Do you want a posting after that? I have been.
I think it'd be great. I enjoyed reading your postings a lot, Catherine.
Okay.
I think it's inspiring for other people, too, because you'll see when you start reading other people's that you're not the only one. It's frequently happening for people because people go out of town, you know, people who come to a group go out of town or things like that, where people are in that position. I think they're being inspired by that two chairs practice you're doing.
Okay. Thank you. And I just want to say I really appreciate the conversation and people's input on reading the blog because I could see conditioning wants to keep me separate from everyone else. And,
yeah,
does. And I'm so bad I need to quit, kind of, you know, remove myself from the group sort of thing. So thank you very much.
Okay. So
Dave?
Why don't we, there's nothing we can really do on the orientation letter thing. I've got that here. I really appreciate people's patience as they go through. We're doing a reorganization of the program. And it's just, there's a lot of steps involved and a lot of conversations involved. And I think we're seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. So hopefully the things that have been in process for the last little while, like the orientation letter, we'll start moving here pretty quickly. I want us to do a little process together, and I want to save time for that. But before we do that, I want to hit the one about the Ann. Is Ann on the call? No? Okay. Well, I think we can address it anyway. What she wrote in, as far as I understand it, is there's a way in which for each group, you know, Tony sends out the key reading for the week's people, they send it out to their group, and that's happening everywhere but in Mountain View because it's going out to facilitators, but I don't think we have a way yet of getting it out to people who might be coming to group. And I can't remember actually where we landed with that. I think what we decided to do was to have the group there start a mailing list that people could go to, but I don't really remember. So I'm wondering either if people remember or if people see a good way of making this happen.
I think that is what we're going to do. So I think this next, maybe not next Tuesday, because probably not one of us is there, but next Tuesday that one of us monks is there, we'll just start that. And then I think the email should come here, from the registration office.
Good. I figured something like that. Okay, great. Good. So that was that. Now, was that all on the agenda other than the orientation letter there, Janet?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
Hey, Dave.
It's
Rebecca. I wonder if I could slip in a question I think will be really quick about reflective listening buddy facilitators' participation.
Sure.
You know, we had talked about maybe changing it up and having facilitators just doing other facilitators, but since we didn't quite get the legwork done in order to make that happen, I wonder if we could keep it the same as we have in past quarters where facilitators will get paired with just kind of whoever, and if they want an additional facilitator buddy, they send me an email or send the Reflective Listening Buddies office an email.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay with you if we keep it that way? And then I can send a message out to Tony to send to the facilitators letting them know that.
That sure is okay with me. Is that okay with other people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Okay, I'll draft that up and get it to Tony very soon because, it's happening next week.
Okay, good. And, you know, a lot of appreciation to everybody, to all the facilitators for helping out with that because it makes a huge difference for the integrity of the Reflective Listening Buddies program to have so many experienced people there because we can get the folks who are brand new in with somebody who's been around for a while and who's not going to take it personally if they kind of do wacky things and stuff like that. So it really, really helps us. So big, big appreciation. Okay, so here's what I was thinking that we could do, just kind of to have a focus on a process level. When I was reading the blog, the thing that stuck out with me, first I was thinking it might be fun to look at representing practice, but then I brought it out a little bit. I was looking at it, thinking it might be fun to have a conversation around holding the space for practice and what's coming up for people around that, because I noticed, you know, that a lot of people, it's just over and over again, people are holding the space. There's that conversation in there about kind of sticking with the program, even if there's only one person there, no people are there, and like that. And so I thought that might kind of apply to those folks who either have not many or nobody coming to help them with their group, and also people who have regular people coming to their groups. Does that seem like an okay thing to look at? I thought it might be fun, too, to have someone else facilitate that other than me, so we can ask for a volunteer here in a minute. So how about let's take a minute and look at what is that for you right now in your experience, holding the space for practice? So you could, if you've got a piece of paper and pen with you, you could take some notes about that if you want to, and if you don't, that's fine too. Just maybe we'll take a look at that for a second and then just have a conversation. Is that enough time for folks?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there someone who'd be interested, willing to facilitate for a little while?
I would love that. It's Rebecca.
Okay, Rebecca, super. Okay, so why don't we just start then with whoever has something about that.
This is Catherine.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi. I've noticed that, I'm not expecting anyone to come. I'm an understanding the holding the space for practice, like the group, holding the group. That's kind of where I've gone with that. And what I'm noticing is in the beginning, when no one was coming, whether anyone was coming or not, I cleared out, I straightened up the living room and dining room area, which is where I was going to have the group. I moved the dogs and cats to the back of the house. I got all the space ready, and then I would facilitate myself if no one came. And it really felt good to do that for myself. And it really felt like I was creating that space. And I've noticed that over the months, as no one's come, I've gotten really away from that. And I now kind of just meet wherever it's sort of convenient for me to do my self-facilitation at the moment.
So what you've noticed is that there's really just an expectation that nobody's going to come. And at the beginning, you would really clear the space, take a lot of time and effort to make the space ready for the facilitation to happen, and whether or not anyone would come, and you would have that space to facilitate yourself. But as time went on, you really have stopped doing that, and you're noticing a difference. And now you just sort of do it wherever it feels, you know, convenient to sit down and facilitate yourself.
Yeah, I can see how I just got talked out of doing that for myself. And I can really see conditioning at work here. And in the course of this conference call, I'm getting re-inspired to do that, to set up the space again the way I had before and create the space for me, and someone might come. I mean, these people are still invited, and they're still welcome, and it's still the same time. It always was. So,
So you're seeing. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just that, you know, my group is Sunday, so tomorrow that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, yeah. So you're seeing that that conditioning has really talked you out of creating that space. And you're really getting re-inspired through this call to do that for yourself. And besides that, someone might come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and if no one comes, it's okay to do it for me.
It's really okay to do it for you.
Yeah. So, thanks. I appreciate this question and exercise. That's helped. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, Rebecca. This is Mickey. I actually, a while ago, I wrote a little thing on the blog about this, but the one thing that I've really been seeing in terms of holding the space, because I don't have my own group, and when I do facilitate, it's at the monastery, and I actually have not had the opportunity to do that for a while, but I do, I am at the monastery regularly for working meditation, and what occurred to me one day as I was cleaning the bathrooms is that that there's a whole lot at the monastery that has to happen in order for facilitation to happen, and that at the moment my part in that facilitation is helping to make the spaces clean and welcoming, and to do whatever is required to make it possible for whoever is facilitating to facilitate.
So you've seen that there's a whole lot that has to happen in order to make facilitation possible in that space to be there at the monastery. And so even though you haven't had the opportunity to facilitate on the cushion in a while, what you're participating in is making the space clean and inviting and available for people and for facilitation to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was a really nice moment of recognizing that, because conditioning could get me into a story about how I'm not facilitating, and I just found out how I was facilitating.
Yeah, so recognizing that and seeing that awareness was really nice, because you could see how conditioning would have you believing a story that you're not facilitating, when in fact you're seeing that you really are very much a part of facilitating.
Yeah. That's really it. It was just a nice recognition.
Yeah, it's a nice recognition to have.
Thank you.
Well, this is Janet, Rebecca.
Janet.
And I've been looking a lot at committing. Committing to what I say I want to be doing. So I'm really appreciating having the time every week that I'm committing to for myself. You know, if anybody shows up or not, for me showing up and watching that whole process of what it takes to be committed.
Mm-hmm. So for you, it's been you've been looking at commitment a lot and what it means that you're doing, committed to doing what you say is most important to you. And so just having that time every week where you are committed to show up for you, regardless of if the others show up or not, has been really good in helping you kind of look at that whole process of commitment.
Yeah, and I've had the same process go on. If I know that no one else is going to be coming and it's just going to be me, it's like, well, it's just going to be you. You know, and I'll hear that, well, it's just going to be you, so, you know, you can either not do it or do it on the fly, you know, like sort of, I call it do it on the fly, like you're not really committing to it. Like there's no commitment there. And then it goes back to, you know, the whole thing of representing practice and, yeah, I like that holding the space for practice. It's like, you know, what do I want to be doing? This is what I want to be doing. And so, yeah.
Yeah, so you've been hearing the voice say, well, it's just going to be you, and so you can kind of either not do it or you can sort of do it on the fly. You know, I imagine this is kind of plopping down somewhere and doing it anywhere. But what you're really seeing is, and liking seeing, is this idea of holding the space and really showing up.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the other thing I wanted to say, that the blog helped so much in helping me to hold the space for practice when it was just going to be me, because making the commitment, holding the space, being there for myself with no, like, wiggle room out of it, so much has come out of it in my facilitating myself, if that's a time when I'm there by myself. And I never would have gotten to that. I never would have seen that if I hadn't held the space.
Yeah. And so the blog has been really helpful in getting you to hold the space. It's sort of like it provides no wiggle room for you to not hold the space. And it's been a real good thing because you've seen how much has come out of that self-facilitation that you've done.
Yeah, thank you.
And you wouldn't have seen it had there not been that commitment and that talking about holding the space.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's very powerful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Rebecca, this is Melinda.
Melinda?
I'm really enjoying this conversation. Yeah, it's just bringing a place of being reminded that taking care of the literal space, even if one person facilitating, is it takes us to that place of holding the space for practice. And what I was looking at in response to this question was holding the space internally. So actually allowing there to be space rather than getting caught up in any kind of agenda, any kind of this is about the facilitator, but just being able to, well, you know, be at center as much as we can determine that, but really to leave it open for whatever is brought to the facilitation to be there and be reflected.
Mm-hmm. You're looking at this in terms of the internal space and holding that space inside or internally so that there's no agenda, you know, there's just this openness for whatever is brought into the facilitation to arise and to be there and just being at center as much as possible.
Yeah, yeah. And that the reflection will happen without any particular effort when I'm able to have that internal openness.
Yeah. The reflection will happen without any effort inside of that, whenever that internal space and that openness is there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. And Sequoia's next to me, ready to speak.
Okay. This is Sequoia, and in this conversation I'm seeing something, and that is I facilitate occasionally here at the monastery, and I just noticed in this conversation there's like, this is about commitment, I think. When my facilitation, opportunity facilitation is ended, there's somebody who's like relieved, like, oh, well, now that got that out of the way for a while. And I was just seeing there's a new opportunity here, and that is that I can make a commitment to facilitate on a weekly basis, and that I can do what other people are doing in this group. I can choose an evening to be a facilitator, and I will do self-facilitation. Mm-hmm. And so I just see that as making another commitment to practice, and just with everybody sharing, I can see how that could support me developing my facilitation skills.
Yeah, that's great. So what you're seeing through this conversation is that you can make a commitment to practice, to facilitate, not only when you're asked to facilitate in the schedule or at the monastery, but on a weekly basis, you can make a commitment to facilitate yourself, like other facilitators are doing. And that feels like a new possibility that you're seeing now and another way to commit to practice.
Yeah, and I have done, much like people are talking about, I have done self-facilitation a lot, but, you know, not in this kind of formal, committed, really just bringing awareness to it. And I don't know what comes up, too. It's just doing it in solidarity with other members of the facilitation program. So that's my commitment.
Yeah, so that's your commitment to do facilitated, even though you do self-facilitation a lot, to do it in sort of a formal, committed, weekly way in solidarity with others in this program.
Yes, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Rebecca, it's Phil.
Yeah.
What I was looking at is that the way I saw the question was that that my body, that my heart is the place that holds the practice, and that I've always seen it kind of like the practice as my home also, and it's like a turtle you know, with the shell, and so I walk around as the practice with the practice. And so I was noticing that it's there when I'm present and there is no I. And as soon as there's an I doing, it's like the space is filled up with something else.
So for you, the practice is and holding the space is like in your body and heart, and sort of like it's you're carrying it with you everywhere, like a turtle with his shell. But when there's an I there, it fills up that space, and that's then what is being represented or putting out there.
Yeah, it feels very different. When the space is open and it feels like and the actual physical meditation hall and Zen center or monastery or wherever my space for meditation here, wherever I have it, feels very like that's my home, and it feels very open and kind of like church would feel if you walked into it, and so when the eye or an identification moves in, it feels very different than when it's just that open space like a container that can contain and accept it everything.
Yeah. So the physical space, whether you're at the monastery or the Zen center or anywhere, really, that feels like your home, and then and open and spacious. And then if there's an I that comes in there, it feels very different than when there's just that openness, that kind of open, empty space.
Yeah, and so then because the practice is also just all encompassing, then do breathe whatever there is to look at what's going on, acknowledge, accept, embrace, and let go and be present. And it feels back like I'm back into that space of practice and meditation.
Mm-hmm. And so then when you notice that, you do the practice. You drop it, you accept, embrace, and let go, and then you're back to the space where the spaciousness of the practice.
Yeah, so I guess that's one way I've been looking at it. And I've been also really appreciating the blog and what everybody has been writing, and am also going to do some, I do the facilitation of myself all the time, so I'm going to start writing about some of that. Since I don't have external facilitation place to write about right now.
So you too have been appreciating the blog, and you're also going to start writing about the self-facilitation that you've been doing, but you're going to start writing about it.
Yeah, that I do in this space where I hold the practice. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, in that space.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Rebecca, I have something. It's Dave.
Dave.
Yeah, just real quick, what came up for me was that my daily practice is what holds a space for practice for in a larger sense. And just the commitment to that, the integrity of that, make sure that's what the first priority in my life, sitting and then there's lots of other practices available these days. And just really making that my number one priority. It feels like it creates a space in me to allow the facilitator to be there.
Yeah. So you're seeing that your daily practice is really holds the space, making sure that that's your top priority, and making sure that that is really being well attended to, and that in itself is sort of what makes the space for the facilitator to be there.
Yeah, it really seems so, and that's the foundation that everything stands on, is what I'm doing day to day to support myself in my practice.
Yeah, so what you're doing day to day to support yourself is really the foundation for really everything else.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that came up for me was we had a phrase that's been bounced around here for a couple of days, is don't give up. You know, whatever you do, don't give up. And I was thinking about one of my very favorite quotes is by Winston Churchill. It's really famous. People probably know it. But apparently it happened, you know, during World War II when the British Islands were being besieged by the Nazis. And he said something like, don't ever, 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 ever give up.
Yeah. Yeah. So that phrase has been coming up for you a lot and around the monastery. Don't ever give up. Ever, 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 ever give up.
I don't know how many evers you said, but it was a lot.
Yeah.
But it really speaks to it because it's, you know, for me personally, it's a big time of commitment right now. And there's a lot in condition that comes in to try to offer a different point of view, and that's not what I want. You know, don't give up. Don't give up the practice. Don't give up this kind of beautiful ambition that we have to end suffering.
Yeah, yeah. So conditioning is coming up and offering alternatives, and that's not what you want. It's not to give up this beautiful practice and that you've built and are doing and is your life.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly so. Thanks. Here's Alex.
Hey, this is what's coming up for me around it too. I saw it as a literally clearing away the space for practice. And it kind of relates to internal and external as well. So, and I don't know how much of that is separate anyway, really. But what happens for me is that when I clear space for practice or make room for it, and I really love the metaphor of the, setting it up so that people can come in for facilitation and taking care of that space because, well, my experience is that when I do that for something, I'm not so much, it feels like I'm not doing it so much for it, although I am doing it for it. It feels like I'm doing it for me as well. And mm-hmm. This is where words try to start getting funky. It's like, well, I'm just doing care. I'm just doing clearing of the space. I am setting it up so that this is what I'm going to be the recipient of it, or it feels like I am. Ultimately, who knows what the room is getting from it, who knows what other people are getting from it, and it's basically setting it up so that it is the act itself that is making the effect.
Yeah, so you're clearing the space, and who knows really what if it's the room or the space or the others that are getting from it, but it's the act of care. It's the act itself that is creating the space.
Yeah, and if I look at it in terms of facilitation and practice in general that goes on internally, it's the experience of clearing away everything that isn't the heart, isn't center. It's the phrase, joy is what's there when you stop doing everything else. Like, I'm clearing away everything else that isn't practice. So when I'm there clearing a space for it, I'm making that the place where conditioning is not invited. And it's a kind of a holy space, actually.
Yeah. So it's really about clearing away everything that's not the heart. That you're making the space by clearing all this other stuff out where conditioning is not invited. And
yeah.
It's really creating a holy space.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, thanks.
Hey, Rebecca, this is Cameron.
Cameron.
Hi. Yeah, it's in keeping with what people are saying, it seems that... that basically facilitation is being present on the cushion, and that, like, you know, like we say, that children don't learn what their parents tell them. They learn who their parents are. It's the same thing for the facilitator. If the facilitator is present and able to just be there and listen and reflect, then that's the experience that people have. So it's really not possible to go around being all scattered and not present and then go and sit down and facilitate. So it really is the day-to-day boots-on-the-ground practice that allows me to have an experience of facilitating myself or facilitating others.
Yeah. So you're seeing that it really is the day-to-day day-to-day boots on the ground practice that allows you to even sit on the cushion and facilitate, because you just couldn't make that switch otherwise. It's that is what is really being modeled as facilitation, the whole thing, not just when you're on the cushion.
Yeah, and so being aware as I go through my day of the process of being there, of being kind, of caring, as people have said. So if I'm focused, which, you know, I've been seeing the difference between being there, being attentive, caring, whether it be for myself or for a plant or for part of the facilities, that's one experience. Being rushed and being in a hurry and trying to get some kind of result, that's an entirely different experience. And so when I'm in that experience, I'm not holding the space for practice for myself or for anything. But when I can just be there and be present to what I am doing in that moment in a caring, kind way, then I am in a space for practice and for representing practice, whether I'm on the cushion or whether I'm out in the garden.
Yeah. So it's really two different, very different experiences of one being showing care and kindness with everything, whether it be a person or yourself or a plant, and then the other experience of being rushed around and not really being there. Those are two different experiences, and the former is the one that is really allowing the space to be there for practice, for kindness, for your heart, for really everything that we are about in representing the practice.
Yeah, and it just feels like the more I allow myself to be in that space, moment by moment in my day-to-day life, the easier it is to be in that space on the cushion when there are these people, you know, sitting there looking at you and so forth. So
yeah.
I just agree with what everyone has said about it being, very much starting internally, making that space, and then facilitating from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the more we practice making that space on a day-to-day basis, the easier it is to make that space when we're sitting on the cushion.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Marie.
Marie?
Okay, can you hear me? I've had a lot of
yeah.
trouble on this call. I kept losing my signal, and so I've missed a large portion of what you're talking about. And I was trying to get in the conversation about the blog, and so if there's time on this call, I just wanted to... question. I wanted to clarify something about the blog, if there's time.
You know, Marie, we're just about out of time. I think what I'd like to do, Amy's been trying to get on the call like crazy. Let's offer her an opportunity. If you had a question that wasn't answered, Marie, go ahead and send us an email. I bet we can answer pretty easy.
Okay. Rebecca, this is Amy.
Amy.
I've been really inspired by the conversation about committing to self-facilitation. And I fall in the camp of being in the rotation of facilitators at the monastery, and my time is up, and then I don't have to do that again for a while. And I've just gotten really inspired by what I've heard people saying, and I wanted to share something that I wrote down before I closed my notebook up and never looked at it again. I wrote, I do hereby commit to self-discipline on a weekly basis on Saturday nights at 8 p.m.
Let me repeat that. So commit off every week on a weekly basis, every Saturday at 8 p.m., was it?
Yes.
Good. Because you've been very inspired. What was that?
And I just realized it's Saturday, so I've got a date tonight.
So tonight, you're going to follow that inspiration and jump on that commitment tonight.
Yes.
Great.
That's all I've got. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And then we'll set you and Sequoia up with a way to blog about it. Somebody else can do that too. All right, good. Well, that's our time, everybody. Thanks a lot for being here today. I can't remember when our next call is. Anybody know?
Friday night the 23rd, maybe?
Friday night the 23rd. Okay, good. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you between, or seeing you then. And in between now and then, keep logging. We'll be reading about
something. Can I ask if came on the call?
Oh, say, go ahead, Janet. What was that?
Did anybody else come on the call and we didn't get your name?
Good question. Did you get Phil?
Yeah.
And this is Lori. I don't know if you got me on.
Yeah, Lori, I got you. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.